Welcome to AM Best Audio.
At a time when social inflation and legal system abuse are significantly impacting the commercial insurance landscape, Zurich's Alan Kirsch, head of claims, judicial, and legislative affairs, is helping lead the charge for meaningful reform. He joins us now. Alan, so glad you could talk to us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Alan, you lead what is believed to be the only team among commercial insurers dedicated solely to tackling legal system abuse. What led Zurich to make this issue such a strategic priority?
Sure. Well, we stood up our team about 4 years ago. And, of course, we were seeing in the numbers increased loss costs over the last probably 10 years or so. So the concept of social inflation was getting a lot more airtime. And, you know, we were certainly hearing from our customers as well. They were very concerned about rising rates. They were very concerned about the litigation landscape. They were concerned about nuclear verdicts, what we typically defined as $10 million and above. So it was really a way for us to respond to the concerns that we were having, as well as our customers, of what was really going on out there. So we stood up this team. As you said, it's judicial and legislative affairs. We're part of the claims organization. And we view ourselves as sort of a social inflation task force. So we dove into, you know, what are the drivers and what can we do about it proactively, as well as, you know, working with our various customers and broker partners and vendor partners to really mitigate what we saw there with these increased costs.
We often hear the term social inflation, but that seems to mean different things to different stakeholders. How do you define it, and what are the most significant drivers behind it today?
Sure. So, the simplest definition in our mind is just the disproportionate increase that we've seen in loss costs over the last, let's say, 10 years or so. So one would expect some inflation, of course, normal economic inflation over time, but we were seeing increases that were, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10x of what inflation was at the time. So the simplest definition is just the disproportionate increase we've seen in loss costs. What's interesting is over the last probably year or two, we've also heard this term being used of legal system abuse. Very similar concepts. I personally do still use the term social inflation because, as you ask about the drivers, there's definitely a societal element to this. So I do feel that social inflation, although it takes a little explaining, probably best describes the situation that we've seen over the years. So in terms of those drivers, and specific to the societal ones, just changing attitudes, changing demographics we've seen in juries over time. Decidedly a more, I would say, anti-corporate bias that exists. Jurors believe that their role is a little bit different. I think, you know, certain generations sort of feel a need to right or wrong in a broader sense. So the attitudes and the role of jurors have changed. So those changing juror demographics are one of those drivers. You know, the plaintiff tactics is another. So there's a number of tactics the plaintiff's bar has used over the years to really maximize these jury verdicts and settlements. So just a couple of examples. You have the reptile theory, which has actually been around for, about 15 years or so. And that's really a way that the plaintiff's attorneys use to create a sense of fear in the jury. And they respond. Reptile comes from that fight or flight instinct that we all have. And so the attorneys use that sense of fear or even anger to trigger that mechanism, if you will, to, and it's, you know, proven really that they do award larger verdicts as a result of that. So more of the proliferation around reptile theory. We've also seen, you know, other tactics like anchoring. So using very large values with juries to sort of anchor them, getting them comfortable with very, very large numbers. I mean, an attorney will open up a case and say, you know, are you comfortable awarding, you know, $25 million in this case? And when a potential juror hears that, they think, okay, wow, I guess this is a big case. This is worth a lot. So anchoring, as well as using You know, other examples of very large values, right? But what professional athletes make, the cost of a Picasso painting, things like that, to sort of get them comfortable with these large numbers. And of course, I would say, going back to the societal changes, people are used to these larger numbers now, whereas, you know, many years ago, asking for millions of dollars in a case could really turn a jury off, right? Where now people are more comfortable with those numbers. So, you know, the other thing about the plaintiff tactics, I would say, is the advertising. So advertising has been very prolific. Plaintiff's bar spent, I think the last estimate I saw was $2.4 billion last year on all sorts of advertising. And people are being inundated with it. And it's not just, you know, been in a wreck, come see me. They're advertising specific jury verdicts. They're advertising that things like, you know, it's the insurance companies, right? So they're trying to get around the prohibition that most states have of mentioning insurance. So there's a very strategic element to that advertising. And as I said, it's become so prolific. It's not just billboards, right? It's ads on TV, social media, of course, as well. The last two drivers, somewhat related, but we've seen obviously a huge rise in third-party litigation funding. So third-party litigation funders, essentially hedge funds, private equity, that's investing in litigation, right? So they will provide non-recourse loans to plaintiffs, to law firms. They'll do larger sort of funding deals with the expectation that there's a very large interest payment at the end. So we've seen on the low end, 35-40% interest being charged, on the high end, in excess of 100% interest, depending on the term. So clearly adding to costs, adding to time to litigate, essentially there's another interested party in the litigation. And the fourth driver that we've seen is just the eroding tort reform across the country. So, you know, a number of examples of those are what we call phantom damages. So allowing the billed amount of medical as opposed to the actual amount paid, as one example, and a number of other areas, changes in the statute of limitations, changes in the apportionment of liability and how that works, just to name a few. So it's really those four buckets that I think we feel are the main drivers. And so, of course, we've tried to address each one of those all in their own way.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Your team works closely with state legislatures and a national coalition to advance tort reform. What are some of the most promising developments that you're seeing on the ground right now?
Yeah, so we also have a government affairs team that we work a lot with. And I would say most, if not all, large PNC carriers have government affairs teams that deal with a number of things, regulations. They also deal in tort reform. But what we've done is, you know, we take it from a claims perspective, right? We understand the impact. Me and my team understand the impact from a claims perspective. So we've been able to add that to the conversation, which is extremely important. I would say some of the most promising developments around that have been Florida. So Florida 2 years ago passed tort reform. Governor DeSantis really saw the insurance crisis in his state and needed to do something about that. So he obviously worked with the legislature and they came up with a series of reforms. They were passed mostly in March of 2023. And what's promising about that is not only the recognition that this was something that needed to be dealt with from a legislative perspective, but also because the plaintiff's bar is we all know, is quite well organized, very well funded, and a very worthy opponent, right? So it was remarkable for a number of reasons. What's really promising, though, besides passing it, is that in the 2 years since then, we have seen some objective metrics really showing that they have stabilized the insurance market in Florida. You've seen rate requests in property, at least, being either flat or sometimes negative in the last year or so. That's one of the things the governor really set out to do. You've seen a number of new entrants into the insurance market, whereas before the Tory reforms, you had a number of insurers who were leaving that market because they, quite frankly, just couldn't be profitable there. So Citizens, which of course is their insurer of last resort, seeing the number of policies going under that program coming down significantly, 20, 25% down, was another goal of the governor and the legislature there. So seeing these objective metrics and seeing that it's working, to me, is one of the most exciting things out there and extremely promising. I would say, of course, Georgia just 3 weeks ago passed their own extensive tort reform. So Governor Kemp there again saw what was the rising insurance crisis in his state and took a page out of Florida's book and said, well, what did they do and what did they do right and what could they have done differently? And he took a very comprehensive, thoughtful approach to that. And so just 3 weeks ago passed a really historic form in Georgia, which, you know, was another state that was seeing an insurance crisis. So, you know, these kinds of efforts, I think, are really encouraging. I think governors and legislatures of other states where, you know, they've seen their insurance rates go up, they're hearing a lot from their constituents that this is more and more becoming a bigger issue. They're realizing that one of the things they can do to level the playing field out there is to reform their tort laws so that, you know, look, the plaintiffs, claimants who are injured due to someone else's negligence are certainly entitled to compensation. But, you know, how do we make that more reasonable and really make them whole again as opposed to creating some sort of generational wealth? So I would say that's probably the most promising development that's going on right now.
Legal system abuse doesn't just affect insurers. It has a ripple effect across industries and communities. Can you share some insights into the broader economic and social impacts?
Sure. Actually, the U.S. Chamber has a group called the ILR, the Institute for Legal Reform, and they've done a number of studies looking at exactly that question. And they have found that these excessive tort costs cost each individual household $4,200 a year. So the reality is, you know, people on juries think there's, you know, just a business on the other side or maybe just an insurance company. And they feel like they're righting some kind of wrong. But what they're not realizing, of course, is those costs, you know, larger and larger verdicts, larger and larger settlements lead to larger insurance premiums. And that just gets passed on to all of us as consumers. So it increases the price of goods and services across all industries, right? So it's a great question because there's very much an impact to all of us as citizens of the U.S. So, and that's the piece that we're really working to get people to understand more. It's not an isolated issue. It's one that we are all bearing the brunt of it. So there absolutely are broader economic impacts to all of us.
As momentum builds for reform, what are the most effective strategies for educating policymakers and the public, and how can the insurance industry play a more effective role?
Sure. I mean, what I just said is one way, I think, in which we can be effective by letting the public understand what the impact is to all of them. So I think that, you know, the more we talk about legal system abuse, social inflation, and get the word out to the public so that they understand what's happening, I think that drives a lot of change. I mean, they contact their legislators and they let them know, you know, we need to level the playing field out there just so our rates don't keep going up and up and up. In terms of policymakers, you know, really important to share our stories. Many policymakers, you know, don't understand, even if they're attorneys, maybe they haven't practiced in this area and don't really understand the practical effects that, you know, some of these nuclear verdicts are having on the industry and on business. So letting them know our stories and our customer stories, we work with our customers a lot to talk about what the impact is to them. I had a construction customer who I've shared his story, and it's a pretty large construction company, but you know, they'll say that we can build a school in New York and it's three or four times the cost it would be a mile away in Connecticut. And the sole reason for that is because of the insurance costs that are involved. So I really think sharing those stories, sharing what the impact is, not just on insurance, but on businesses. That's where legislators are really interested in hearing. I would say that, you know, the successes we've seen in Florida in terms of the objective metrics I mentioned before, legislators are taking note of that, right? So if they want to have some check against rising insurance costs in their industry, they need to know that this is a lever that they can pull to make a change and make a difference. And I think the more that they see, you know, these other states are following suit, you know, they realize that we too will need to make some reforms in our specific jurisdictions.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it and appreciate the focus on the topic.
That was Alan Kirsch, Head of Claims, Judicial, and Legislative Affairs for Zurich. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio. Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.